We read Mary's Song of Joy, her Magnificat. It's got a few other titles, the Canticle of Mary, or my particular favorite, the Ode of the Theotokos. You can guess why I like that one. It's the complicated name. Now, Theo being Greek, Theotokos being Greek, Theo meaning God and Tokos meaning bearer or giver birth of. When it comes to titles, there's minister, doctor, but you know, Theotokos is that title that just maybe it's a little nicer than all the others. It's this song of joy. It's a song of joy that tells a story of all that's going through this young woman's world. It's a joyful response to a welcome from her kinswoman, Elizabeth, but also the baby that would be John the Baptist greeting Christ with joy. When we look at story, it's the first of four songs of joy, canticles, if you will. There's the Magnificat, Zacharias, Benedictus, the Gloria of the angels when they meet the shepherds, Simeon's Nunc Dimittis in chapter 2. All four songs of joy to God. And this is the first. It begins, really, the narrative as we walk towards his birth. It all begins with Elizabeth and Mary meeting in a moment. John the Baptist leaping for joy. And it all ends when Christ goes to the temple as a little boy, as a baby. And Simeon in joy, seeing the child promised and his promise of seeing God's glory. I realize that as a guy here, there's an element to Mary's experience I don't get. I can only speak from the Joseph side of things. I can't understand a lot of the Mary side. The difficulty is, though, Mary explains as good as she can the joy she feels. As we listen to her words unfold, they assess her own position, her own understanding of all that God is doing in and through her. And even though she's a young woman, she shows a maturity of faith well beyond her years. She's able to see this moment for what it is, see the privilege and honor of what she has been chosen for. But joy isn't necessarily an easy thing to work our way towards, is it? When we think of things that are often straightforward, they're actually usually deep and complex, almost boggling the mind. Take our reading from Psalms, specifically verse 5. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob. Now, if you're reading from the NIV, you'll notice that it says, blessed are those who are. So you're blessed and happy, which, let's be honest, they kind of work together in a beautiful medley. But the reality is that sometimes the words in Greek or Hebrew cover the full spectrum of all that's going on. When the word we have in English really kind of misjudges the moment, where perhaps if we were to pull out the full Merriam-Webster definition of all that it could be, we would find all that is. But the fact is that joy is our emotion here. Joy, not happiness, but joy. There's a fine line between the two, between joy and happiness, between that weaving together of those two moments. Because joy is present always. As the kids said, or I tried to get the kids to get there, deep down in our hearts. You see, Mary is having a child. And it's a little bit different than where we are in our world. Think about the weight that carries with her in this moment. And what matters most is where that joy resides, where that joy holds on to. Joy within a worldly context is found in the things of this world. Friendships, relationships, even possibly even some of the things can give us a measure of joy. But the joy of faith, the joy that comes from our faith, is a little bit different. That root of joy lies perpetually in knowing the Son of God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God the Father. That joy that is within us doesn't wither away, doesn't go away through difficult times. It is with us. And that is the joy of which Mary sings. That's the joy of all four of the canticles in the Luke narrative. The joy of faith. Now, that joy is an interesting one that we can watch play out. Think of Zechariah, who has been silent ever since the angel came to him and promised him his son. Sure, there's an element of joy that he can finally talk. But there is also the greater joy that his child has been called by God to a mission, that God is doing something in and through this child. He's been given as much of an operator's manual for raising this child as any parent ever gets. And yet he is joyful. Not over getting his voice back, but over this child that was promised and given. But Zechariah also knows all the weight and world that will go on this child. And yet he is still joyful. He knows what the prophet, who is his son, and knows what he's going to do. He knows how unwelcoming the world will be, not just to all prophets, but this prophet. And yet Zechariah knows what his son is going to endure and is joyful. Mary looks at that son of hers that has promised, that is given, that is within her, and she's joyful. Even though she too carries the reality of a burden. She's a young mother, young enough to be a virgin and not married, which carries its own weight for her to have to deal with. We'll see some of that play out in Joseph's story, where Joseph tries to quietly send her away and then makes the leap of faith to marry her anyway. There's the weight of a unwed mother in a culture that would stone her. She's got all of the other difficulties of a mother-to-be. All of the weight of worry and wonder about this child, and then throw onto that, that it isn't just any child. She is carrying the Son of God. That whole title, Theotokos, carries with it a whole lot of great joy, but also it conveys the burden. This is a title that only one person will ever have. One person will be called this. This is not a normal moment. And this young woman yet can sing a song of joy in the midst of this. There's a sort of unnormalcy, disnormalcy that exists in this moment. And yet, when we track back within the concept of a joy of faith, we understand that there is a normalcy to it. Sure, the stories are all different here. The walks are different, but that joy which causes these songs to be sung, comes from the same place. The joy deep down in your heart. Now, let me challenge all of you, since the kids didn't do it so well. Do you have the joy, 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 joy down in your hearts? All right. Maybe it's a generational thing. It's that joy that's within us, that's almost like a yew bush. It's got roots that go forever in our hearts. It's not getting pulled out. Well, maybe that's where the analogy falls apart, because you can eventually get a yew bush out, but you can't get that root of faith out, that root of joy. That root of joy that can never be taken from you, that sits within you, that from there you have peace and hope in the joy. All of these candles, all of these words are interlinked together. As many of you know, I lost my dad in the fall when I was 13. And that Christmas was, it was special. In that special way that bad things happen, good things happen, all in the same place. There was a lot of tears. A few moments where someone ran off to their room alone to cry. God bless them. My mom and my grandparents did their best with my aunt to make things as normal as they could. It wasn't. And as reality and plans fall apart, things happen. But for me, one moment stands out for Christmas. I was sitting on a couch brooding, as 13-year-old boys do. My grandpa comes over and lowers himself with a groan next to me. Rob is on the other side of grandpa. And we have to go through the song and dance of showing grandpa all that we had gotten that year for Christmas. And we did. Grumbling, mumbling. And then grandpa asked us a question as he put his arms around us and squeezed just enough, you know, that grandpa squeeze. He asked us if we got any joy that Christmas. How about a little joy? Did you get some of that this year? He didn't ask how we were doing. Didn't ask if we were happy. He asked if we had joy. And as much as 13-year-old boys trying to hide their emotions do, We nodded and smiled because we could see all that everybody tried and all that everybody did. And we had joy in that our families and that our faith was there in that moment. Didn't take away the hurt, didn't dry up the tears, but allowed us to have joy. The fact of the matter is that joy stays with us. Joy holds with us no matter how bad how difficult things can get. If you can imagine how Mary might have responded differently if it weren't for her faith, how might Zechariah have responded differently were it not for his faith? But the reality is we don't need to wonder too deeply about this because they did. They did. Respond from the joy of faith. Brothers and sisters, may we too, in this season, hold on to the joy of faith. As the worries, the happiness, the pressures, the celebrations, and the pain of this season come in, may we find joy. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us respond to God through our gifts. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the gifts that you continue to give to us, the many blessings you have lavished upon us, and we thank you, O Lord. Gracious God, be with these gifts that we offer to you. Guide us in their use. Guide us so that we might be a light for all who are lost in darkness in this world. Help us to be a ray of hope for all who are in a place of hopelessness. Gracious God, hear these our prayers. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, let me invite you to share any joys or concerns with your brothers and sisters. Kelly? That's a thank you from Kelly for all the prayers. I ask that you pray for June Vanderlaan. June has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and I only share this because it has been made known classes-wide. But please be in prayer for Bob, who is not well, but especially be in prayer for June as she deals with having pancreatic cancer. So please pray for the Vanderlaans, but also pray for the church that Bob has served for so long and that's at Plattekill. Are there, Doug? Prayers for Doug's sister's family, the Constant and the Butcher family, at the loss of Doug's sister to pancreatic cancer. Are there any other concerns, joys? And brothers and sisters, let us go before our Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you. We know that you are with us through all times, in good, in bad, in amazing, and in awful. You are always with us. Lord, we thank you for all of the care and the prayers that you have shown and given to the Maggiore family. We thank you for all you are doing for them. We ask that you will be with Bob and June. Be with Bob as he seeks for strength and seeks to gain his. And be with June as she deals with her treatment for pancreatic cancer. Lord, we ask that you'll be with the Constant and the Butcher family as they grieve the loss of Doug's sister. Lord, it is so difficult in this time of year to sometimes be present and be in a celebratory mood. And we ask, Lord, that you will be with us as we both live in the tension of how we are feeling, how we are, and how the pressures of the world say we should be. We ask, Lord, that you'll be with all those who are grieving, all those who are dealing with the difficulties of life and the world. We ask that you'll be with all those struggling with addiction, all those struggling to find and live into hope. Be with all families that are experiencing brokenness in this season. Gracious God, be with all those who have to be on the roads today in this snowstorm we're about to have. Gracious God, be with our sick and our shut-in, with Judy, Shirley, Bev, Lori, Dave, and Barbara, with Terry. We ask that you'll continue to be with all of them and with their families. Continue to be with Jim and help him in his recovery. Gracious God, for all those joys and concerns that our voices struggle to give words to, that we name now in silence, be with them as well. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and be with us. Watch over us as we leave here. Be with our world and its pain. And Lord, help us to remember the prayer that we pray now, calling for your kingdom to come, that we pray that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power, glory forever. Brothers and sisters, let us rise if we're able for our final hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 181.
I have decided that spirit, please go on the book you walk, and though the end of the path, something like that.
And now, children of God, go forth in peace. Go forth in the knowledge that wherever we are in God's wide world, whatever happens to us, be it good or ill, may we always remember his joy and that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Thank you.
I just have to stop on that.